kakvoj zemlji želim da živim.
Moj kolega Dušan Majkić je proteklog vikenda bio u Ljubljani na festivalu Ment. To je jedan od festivala kakve bismo svi želeli da imamo. Kroz ovaj festival prošlo je više od 70 bendova i mnogo, mnogo dobrih promotera, producenata, booking agenata, muzičkih novinara, blogera, kao i svih ostalih posetioca koji su na brzi kvalitetan način dobili jasnu sliku o tome šta se događa trenutno na muzičkoj sceni i kako da postupaju sa trenutnim muzičkim produktima. Dušan Majkić razgovarao je sa Johnom koji je radio sa mnogim, mnogim bendovima. Dakle, John Robb gradio svoju muzičku karijeru sa sastavom The Membranes, a pisao je i knjigu o sastavu The Stone Roses. Dakle, danas u emisiju Kakvoj zemlji želim da živim čućemo intervju sa Johnom Robbom, a slušat ćemo i muziku po njegovom izboru. Za početak, Sex Pistols. Posetu na ovogodišnjem Showcase festivalu, Dušan Majkić iskoristio i da porazgovara sa legendarnim punk novinarom Johnom Robbom, koji je uspešno gradio i muzičku karijeru sa svojim sastavom The Membranes. Često ga možemo vidjeti u medijima, a tu su i mnoge knjige koje se bave zanimljivim muzičkim biografijama. Jedna od najznačajnijih svakako je biografija mančesterskog benda The Stone Roses. John već nekoliko decenija živi u Manchesteru, a u prvom delu intervjua nam odgovara na pitanje zašto je baš toliki broj odličnih sastava potekao iz tog grada na severu Britanije.
So many different factors in that. I think for modern bands, it's because they had the head start, the punk thing, when the Pistols played there in 76. It wasn't the first time they played outside London, but it was kind of one that had the right people at the gig. So several people at that gig went on to do stuff. But it also had a musical history before that, obviously. Like, there was an infrastructure there. There was venues, there was PAs, all those things you needed at that time to make music happen. So there's a space to make things happen. It was a big college town as well. I think that's really important. It was then, it's even bigger now. So there's thousands of students coming in. That's a lot of young people coming into the town. But the question is, why is that not happening on a smaller scale like a place like Huddersfield? You know, why is it particular to Manchester? It's also a media city. It had Granada there as well. So Sonny Wilson was making a very good program time called So It Goes, with Pistols' first TV appearances on that. So it's always kind of all facts in there. There's all the longer term theories as well, like the history of the city is a revolutionary city. So the 19th century, suffragettes came out of Manchester. Big Core, the movie, came out of Manchester. Karl Marx went to Manchester because he thought the revolution was going to happen there. There's all this kind of stuff, and you know, the Peterloo Massacre. So it had a revolutionary aspect. But I always like to think, this is probably a bit too esoteric, but by the 1970s, the revolution has sort of turned, not from revolution, but into making revolutionary music in a sense. It's just part of the kind of attitude that comes out of the town. So it was there. So instead of fighting back the government, they're just making records. They're just more off the wall. There's definitely attitude also in the city of, because it's a city that built up. It's a modern city. It's industrial, first industrial city in the world, first post-industrial city, because all the industry collapsed. So there was a thing about pulling yourself up, you know, whereas Manchester bands were ambitious, you know. So there's all that in there, all mixed together. And it had a certain kind of infrastructure and organisation, which is important. And it had a clutch of about five really brilliant bands, you know, like Joy Division, like incredible. Buzzcocks were incredible. Buzzcocks took punk outside London, first outside London punk band. That was important, that, you know. They made, it's their first single, Spiral Scratchy Piece, DIY record. They made it themselves. And that was really influential as well. Gave people the idea to make their own records. So it's all going on in Manchester. And even had music journalists living in Manchester at the time as well, which no other city had. Liverpool had one, and I think Manchester had about four or five. Leeds had none. So that's always the thing that I see. You have to compare Leeds to Manchester, because they've both got very, not totally similar histories, but in ways of making bands and scenes. There's not much difference in why one city and not the other, because Leeds is erratic for music. It has good band, 10-year gap, good bands, whereas Manchester's just consistent. But I think once you start getting bands coming out of the city, everyone moves to the city, then it gets confidence, and Manchester just kept rolling and rolling and rolling. So by about 81, 82, it's, you know, with the vision of people like Wilson, you know, Tony putting in the Hacienda and that, which wasn't like that big a club at the time, but it's, you know, people didn't go to that much. But it's a hell of a thing to have in a city, the biggest nightclub in Britain, in Manchester. So it gave Manchester a certain confidence, that. And then bands like Smiths came out, very much they came out of that punk scene. Punk was definitely the driver of this early stuff. Even the Stone Roses came out of punk as well, you know. I mean, I would have the argument that they're the last punk band to make it, in a sense. I mean, they're not directly what people think of being punk, but they came out of punk, they grew up punk. So by the time they made it, they turned into something else, but they were definitely sparked by the punk thing. They're probably the last band of that generation to make it really massive. So punk was really important in Manchester. It made a big difference. It sparked a lot of people into action. I run the risk of losing you, and that's worse.
Slušali smo sastav Clash, a poznati muzički novinar John Robb boravio je na konferenciji Ment koja je ove godine održana u Ljubljani. John je tamo bio učesnik konferencije na kojoj su se preslušavali singlovi novih evropskih bendova, a u ovom delu intervjua John nam je malo bliže pojasnio razvoj mančesterskog zvuka. Od prvih post-punk new wave bendova pa do kulminacije pokreta krajem 80-ih.
I think initially in punk they were like Buzzcocks, who was sort of punk band, but different. They're arty, they had a little twist to it. Then you go Joy Division, Factory, which is very kind of post-punk. Post-punk came out of Manchester. It was Manchester's take on punk. It was very northern. Joy Division can't come from anywhere else apart from Manchester. The gloominess and the melancholy of it was so part of the rainy weather and the mills. It's a battered city then. They do soundtrack, it's corny, but if you put their music against footage of Manchester at the time, it fits perfectly. Then you kind of go to the Smiths, who were trying to do something opposite to Joy Division, but in a sense still have that melancholy mix into their music. Then you go Roses Mondays, where it's post-Acid House, and you know, Manchester had a head start there with the Hacienda, and with people like Mike Pickering, who's like a really important DJ, who's playing that stuff really early on. And a big club space got taken over by the youth. It turned into like this completely new kind of scene. The Roses of Monday were a reflection on that, but they weren't directly that kind of music. Because people always say, oh, they're like acid house bands. They never play anything remotely sound like acid house. There's a couple of mixes that may have an acid house edge to them, but they were kind of traditional bands in a sense. The Roses were a super traditional, jangly 60s guitar, psychedelic band, but wrote these amazing songs, really anthemic. And they really captured that spirit that the music was for everybody. It was... you know, it wasn't like the leads on the stage and the crowd were like the serfs. It was like the music went to the back of the room. It was for everybody, you know, which is a very acid house feeling. The idea that raves, you know, everyone was a star in a rave sort of thing. Happy Monday is probably close to the culture because they're the ones who first did the E's and stuff. I mean, those two bands really, they kind of explained acid house back to the indie kids. That's what they, you know, because the indie kids knew the party going on but were too scared to go to it. But those bands opened up that party to a whole different raft of people. And then that became defining benchmark what Manchester music was. So after that, there's like a million different versions of bands that were really like them or really not like them. So it's always an ongoing argument. Or people hate all those bands in the past. But it became a city that people go to for gigs. You know, I think one of the key things about Manchester is it's in the middle of loads of other cities, isn't it? Leeds is up just down the road, up is down the road. All Lancashire's above, it's catching area of about 8 million people. They're going in and out of town for gigs and music and playing in bands. And in the end, you've got to find three or four people who can play in a band good out of all those many people.
Slušali smo Manic Street Preachers i Design for Life. A pored uspešne novinarske i muzičke karijere, John Robb je i vrsni poznavalac subkulturne istorije. Već smo čuli koji su to bendovi označili mančesterski zvuk, a šta je sa pojedincima koji su se potrudili da od tog zvuka stvore brend. Jedan od njih je čuveni Tony Wilson, osnivač izdavačke etikete Factory i vlasnik najpoznatijeg acid kluba zbog kog je Manchester prozvan Madchester Hacijende. John Robb nam je pojasnio i ulogu Tonija Wilsona u čitavom ovom pokretu.
Well, it'd be different, but it would definitely still exist. I mean, he wasn't like, his part of the Smith story doesn't exist. I mean, Oasis, he doesn't exist in our story. I mean, Noel Gallagher took his Oasis demo down to Factory, and the person, the Factory A&R person, turned them down and said they weren't good enough. You know, they had to go to Creation, you know, because they couldn't, because their own local label wouldn't sign them. And then Factory signed all these really rubbish bands. It was the end of Factory, and they were signing these bands that nobody liked because I think they'd lost their ears at that point. I think every record label has a moment where it's totally on it, and then after that, you might be signing stuff which you really like, which is what you should always do, but nobody else might like it. That was their problem. So he went to Creation, and Smith had already gone to Rough Trade. Smith didn't want to sign to Manchester label anyway. They didn't like Factory. They wanted nothing to do with Factory. So in a sense, they were a reaction to Factory. I think people in Manchester didn't like the idea that Factory was the dominant label, and the city to define the city's culture, that Tony was a spokesperson for the whole city, because as brilliant as he was a spokesperson, he wasn't speaking for everybody who lived there, you know. He's very good at speaking about stuff, but Manchester never had one leader, and it doesn't have leaders. It's not that kind of city, you know. Everybody's got a voice in Manchester, and that's why it's a really good music scene. It's perceived on the outside as being Tony Wilson speaking on behalf of everybody. And one of the greatest things about Tony, God bless him, is he didn't actually know very much about music.
Is she really going out with him?
Streets which have slipped down, and I wonder too.
John Robb danas ima udruženje Louder Than War koje se bavi raznim inspirativnim stvarima u oblasti muzike, a za kraj intervjua sa ovim čuvenim britanskim novinarom saznali smo kakav je bio njegov put. Od prvih fanzina pa do tekstova koji su izlazili u renomiranim muzičkim časopisima poput Sounds, INM i mnogih drugih.
Well, I just hustled really. I started doing a fanzine. I started in punk. I had a band because the thing about punk was DIY, do it yourself, and that's the most powerful thing came out of punk. You didn't have to wait for anybody's permission to do anything. And easier now than it was then, because then if you wanted to write, you had to print your own fanzines, you had to learn about printing. Now you can do a website or a blog. That's a good way to start. You start writing on WordPress, you learn how to write in your own style. I mean, nowadays, the worst thing about it nowadays, everything's got so corporate that people are always telling you how to write, but you're telling you what bands to like. I think the best writers, people write from their own heart, you know, they write their own style. But that's getting chipped away quite a lot, because everything's getting like, you have to write this and fit it into there and write in this kind of way. If you're going to make a living out of it, maybe you've got to do that. But luckily, I get to do what I want. So my favourite writers are the ones who just write purely instinctively. So I started on fanzines, I started doing live reviews for a newspaper called Sounds, which went bust in 1992, I think. Then I went to Married to America, then just freelance. It's about contact. There's no magic to it at all. It's all about networking and getting to know people and stuff like that. And some people don't like what we do, some people do like what we do. It's good to go out a lot and also be totally versed in pop culture. There's no point writing about pop music or pop culture if you know nothing about it. You don't have to know about the whole lot, you just have to know about your little bit really well. Because they're fractured now as well in music. But it's quite good to go and check out other stuff as well. You know, if somebody's playing arena, you don't particularly like what they are, and you could blag your way in. You might as well see the gig because you can compare it to stuff that you like. It's kind of good to know the context of your scene, isn't it? Where it fits in the world, and read loads of stuff and be obsessed by it kind of helps as well.
Bio je to Johnny Marr i New Town Velocity, a vi ste slušali emisiju U kakvoj zemlji želim da živim. Danas smo pričali sa britanskim punk novinarem Johnom Robom. Intervju sa njim uradio je Dušan Majkić na festivalu u Ljubljani. Čitav intervju naravno pročitajte na sajtu O Radija kao i izveštaj sa ovog festivala. Ostanite uz nas. Slušamo The English Beat i Save It For Later.
Sometimes it does.